and reading Galatians 2 from verse 11. Let's hear the word of God. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. We thank God for the reading of his word. Can I invite you to turn back with me to Galatians and chapter 2. And the two verses that we are going to be considering this morning are Galatians 2, verse 20 and 21, where we read these words. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Paul is writing this letter to the Galatian Christians, the churches that were in the area that we now know as Turkey. And he is reporting to them a conversation that he had with Peter, that great fisherman, disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is reporting to them this conversation that he had, in which he had to rebuke Peter, because Peter was in the wrong. And I believe that what he said to Peter runs all the way from verse 14, right to the end of the chapter, verse 21. Some people think that Paul simply said to Peter what we read in verse 14. If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? And then they end the quotation there, as if that's all that Paul said to Peter. But that can't be so, because Paul goes on to talk about we who are Jews. And he talks about how we have come to faith in Jesus and found justification there. So he must still be talking to Peter all the way to the end of the chapter there. And he obviously considers that this conversation that he had with Peter was a very significant one. So significant that he's prepared to report it to the Galatian churches, because it had something to say to them. You see, the problem is that people have come into the churches in Galatia and they've started to teach them this dreadfully damaging doctrine. They're starting to say to them, you churches in Galatia, You've started very well with Jesus. That's good. But you need more than Jesus. You need to all follow the Jewish traditions. You need to follow the Old Testament teachings. Particularly, they were telling them that they needed to be circumcised. They needed to offer the sacrifices. And they needed to observe the special holy days and the food regulations in the Old Testament. All of those needed to become part of their lives if they were ever going to be acceptable to God. And that was the great danger. We see it there in chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul is deeply concerned that these Galatian Christians are being diverted from the true gospel of Jesus. And this is also a message for us. Now, it's not really a great temptation for any of you to go the way of the Jewish faith. I doubt whether any of us have ever really been tempted to offer sacrifices on Jewish altars. There aren't any anyway at the moment. And I don't suppose that we are particularly interested in observing all those special holy days. And most of us wouldn't dream of giving up certain foods that we enjoy eating for religious purposes. But we are all tempted to keep the law as a way of being right with God. There is always a tendency in every one of our hearts to go after outward things and make them the way that we get right with God and keep right with God. Even those of us who have begun with Jesus, and we say, I began the Christian life with Jesus. Jesus was everything to me. Well, many years down the line, we need to check ourselves and say, am I still holding on only to Jesus? Or have other things come into my life that I am beginning to trust in? Paul here spoke to Peter about the works of the law. Well, the works of the law for the Jews were circumcision, sacrifices, and holy days and holy food. But the works of the law for you and me can easily become baptism, communion, good works, and church traditions. And any one of these things can be what we start relying on in order to be right with God. We can start saying, well, I know I'm right with God because I was baptized, you know. How many years ago was that? Oh, 40, 50, 10, 5, 2. But if we're starting to rely on our baptism as a way that we'll be right with God, we are doing the same thing that these Galatian Christians were doing. Communion. We say, well, I'm right with God because I always make sure that I'm at church when there's a communion service. I take the bread and I take the wine and therefore I'm right with God. No, you're not. That is a terrible lie of the devil. And your heart and my heart are constantly drawn to these outward things. You say, well, I'm right with God because I try to live a good enough life. That will never make you right with God. Or you say, well, I follow all the things that this church does. I follow the traditions of the church. I believe in preaching. I believe in the Bible. None of that is going to save you. And we can start to live as though these are the ways to please God. And then it follows that there are many other errors we fall into. We start saying that unless people practice church in the same way that we do, wear the same clothes, sing the same hymns, have the same prayers, have the same order of service. We say, well, if they don't follow the same things as we do, then they can't be right with God because this is the only way. Well, clearly that isn't true. But we can start to live as though it is. So this is very important teaching for us. And Paul saw that even Peter, was falling into this terrible trap. Because some Jews had come up visiting from Jerusalem. And when they came, he started to meet just with them and to follow their traditions and their ways. And he started to ignore his brothers and sisters who had been Gentiles, but who had come to faith in Jesus. And we can end up doing the same thing. And then we can start thinking that God must be pleased with us because we do certain things in certain ways. We're trying to be close to the Bible. That's very good. But we mustn't assume that that is what makes us right with God or keeps us right with God. There's no tradition, no heritage, no good track record of a life that can ever make us right with God. And that is Paul's message in these verses from verse 14 to verse 21 of Galatians 2. And how does he finish it all off? He finishes it off by giving us a personal testimony. And that's what we are looking at this morning. Personal testimony. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wonderful, wonderful words, aren't they? Now, let's pause a moment. Why should we be concentrating on this teaching at all this morning? Surely there are many more relevant things that we could be looking at this morning. You might think that. After all that's happened this week, shouldn't we be thinking about something else? The terrorist attack at the heart of Westminster, many people suffering in hospital. Think of the fact that today is Mothering Sunday. Should we be thinking about mothers in the Bible? The loss of one of our dear beloved members here at Bethlehem. Shouldn't we be thinking about something else? Why think about this morning? Well, it's because of all of those things. What's wrong with the world? Wars, strife, death, sickness, natural disasters. Seems to be getting worse. People debate, is it worse now than it's been before? Certainly there's a lot of uncertainty, fear, hatred, confusion. Religion seems to be making everything a lot worse. But the reason we should be looking at this verse this morning is because one thing has never changed throughout the whole history of the world. And that is this. The fallen human race needs God. And every one of those situations that we could think about, you can say they need God. What is the answer to terrorism? The answer to terrorism is, number one, the terrorists need to know God. Number two, if you're going to lose your life at the hands of a terrorist, you certainly need to know the God that you're going to meet. What do mothers need? God. What do children need? God. When we finish our life's journey, who do we need? God. And there will be a time in every one of our lives when nothing else matters. Only this. Do you know God? And so these verses and this confrontation between Paul and Peter was all about, how do you come to know God? Is it through doing all of those outward things? Or is it through something else? And Paul is saying quite clearly to Peter, Peter, you know the answer to that question. You are never going to be right with God by keeping the Jewish traditions. So what you're doing is just hypocritical. And you're leading people astray. Because the only way to be right with God is through faith in Jesus Christ. And that is what we need to be hearing constantly. So we need this message. It explains to us what the Christian life is and also what the Christian life is not. So these verses then, let's spend a bit of time with this verse. First of all, the Christian life is Christ living in me. Notice that Paul uses this little phrase, I live, three times in this one verse. I live. It's only one word for him. I live, he says. So first of all, he says, it is no longer I who live. Or literally, I live, but no longer I myself. You might remember it, those of you who are old enough, to have been brought up with the authorized version of the Bible. I live, nevertheless, not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's how we used to know it, didn't we? I live, nevertheless, not I. Well, it is more accurate to say, it is no longer I who live. But he says, I live. Yes, I do live. But it's not me that's living. Not really. It's Christ who's living in me. So that's the first time he uses this little phrase, I live. And then he uses it again. The life which I now live in the flesh. Or again, literally, but that now I live in the flesh. So I live, yes, I'm living a physical life. I'm living a life in the flesh, in the body. I'm living that life. And yet that life has completely changed. And then the third time he uses that phrase, he says, I live by faith. Three times he's talking about his life and how he's living it. So the first time he says, it's no longer I who live. Once, he says, once, I lived my life with me at the centre of it all. I, myself, determined what I did. I was on the throne of my life. I was at the helm of the ship of my life. I was at the steering wheel, driving my life along the road that I wanted to go. That's how I used to live my life. That's what Paul is saying here. And that is true for every one of us. It might still be true of you. That is how we begin life. I am at the center of it all. Me. I'm driving it along. I'm going where I want to go. I'm making the decisions. This is my life, and I'm going to live it. That's how Paul used to live. And it's a sinful life, because we're all sinners. Sin essentially is me on the throne of my life. Sin, that little word of three letters, but the letter in the middle is I. And that great I in the middle of sin is what it's all about. No thoughts of God. Or if I did think of God, he was at my convenience. He was a God of my own imagination. He was a God who was simply there to do what I wanted him to do, to make my life better, to make sure that I was comfortable. And when he didn't make my life comfortable, then I would tell him, why are you allowing this? That's a sinful life. Now, for Paul, an enormous change occurs. Remember, this is Paul speaking. On the road to Damascus, his life seemed to completely fall apart. Everything that he was living for suddenly crashed to the ground because he met Jesus on that road to Damascus. Or better put it this way, Jesus broke into his life. He wasn't even looking for Jesus, but Jesus was searching for him. And what does Paul say happened at that moment? He said, at that moment, when he met the Lord Jesus, I died. That's what he says. I died. The me, the ego, I died. I have been crucified with Christ. Death happened, he says. Death to the old me. Jesus broke into my self-centered life and changed me completely. It was death to the old me. That's what becoming a Christian is all about. It's about your old life disappearing, dead, buried, crucified with Christ. Christ died, but the old me, the sinful me, died with him. And that old life has gone, says Paul. That's what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. That's what happens to every Christian when they come to Christ, either dramatically, like Paul did on the road to Damascus, or over a period of time, we realize that Jesus is changing our lives. The old life has gone. A new life has come. So he says, I no longer live. The old me has gone forever. The selfish, self-centered ego, sin, that great big I, right in the middle of my life, it's disappeared now. Now, we might not know much about sin in our generation. People don't understand what you mean when you talk about sin. But they do know about selfishness. They know about self-centered living. They know what it is for someone to climb on the backs of others, not really caring about them, putting themselves first in everything and proudly and arrogantly pushing for their rights, their desires, their way. The great anthem of the last century was, "I did it my way. I did it my way, my life." And when you come to Christ, all of that changes. We're crucified with Christ. That all goes, and it's all done away with. The new life comes. And what is this new life? This new life is Christ living in me. One of the lovely and simple ways in which people describe becoming a Christian is like this: Jesus came into my life. And that's the simplest way of describing it. That's what a Christian is. Jesus came into my life. Sometimes say, Jesus came into my heart. Now, we know that physically that is not what happens, because Jesus is in heaven physically now. But he sent the Holy Spirit so that when anyone comes to believe and trust in Jesus, Jesus really does come and live with them in the closest possible relationship, so that he really is at the center of their lives. He is the one who rules and lives there. He gives us a new life, a new start. We're born again, and we've been given life from above as a gift, eternal life. And that eternal life is Christ in us. Paul talks to Colossians, and he says, this is the great mystery. But what is this great mystery of being a Christian? He says it's quite simply this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what being a Christian is. Colossians 1, verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what being a Christian is. Jesus has come to live in your life, to have this close relationship through his Holy Spirit, so that you have this wonderful hope of glory in him. Life now is directed by Jesus Christ. He's at the helm, not me anymore. He is on the throne, not me anymore. He is steering my life along the road he has determined. And do you know what? I want to go that way. It's not that he is trying to take my life in a direction that I don't want to go in. I now want to go in that direction. I didn't before, but I do now, because Jesus is in my life. Christ is in my life. For me to live is Christ. That is what he says to the Philippians. Always, in all of his letters, Paul is saying the same thing. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That is what it means to be a Christian. Not about keeping rules. It's not even about coming to church. It's not about praying. It's not about sacrifices. It's not about what you can do. It's about Jesus living in you. That's Christianity, this relationship. And so the second thing then, that's the first thing. The Christian life is Christ living in me. Secondly, the Christian life is a life of faith in Christ. Second time Paul uses this phrase, I live, he says, the life I live in the body. So here on earth, physically, in real time, you and I have to live. Bodily living in the flesh. We still have a physical life to live on earth. And Christian living is very physical. Christian living is all about eating and drinking and speaking and living and forgiving and working and sleeping and everything else that makes up this physical life in the body. Paul says, I still live. I'm alive. When you become a Christian, you discover that you're more alive than you ever were before, because you've found the truth of the principle of life, which is God and Christ in you. But now here's a difference. I'm living it with Christ in my life every single day, so that all of those aspects of living a physical life on earth, every single part, even what I eat, even what I drink, even when I get up in the mornings and when I go to sleep at night, and how I relate to other people and what job I do, and every aspect of my life now is Christ. Christ lives in me. And how does it work? Well, it works by living by faith. I live by faith, says Paul. That's how it's lived, by believing. Faith is the lifeline that links me to Christ. I exercise trust in him, faith in him. I believe in him. I have this relationship that is fed and strengthened by faith because God has given me this faith in his Son. And Paul reminds us who it is that we're believing in. We're believing in the Son of God. And he says two things about this wonderful Son of God. First of all, he says, he loved me. He loved me. Now, you might think that he should say, he loves me. You know, when you're plucking off the leaves of the flower, he loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. And you hope you're going to end up with the one that says he loves me. Right? But it's all in the present, isn't it? He loves me. Now, we can say that about Jesus. Jesus loves me. But Paul doesn't say that. He says he loved me. He's looking back because he's looking back at a particular time in history when Jesus Christ showed his love for you more than any other time. He loved me and, here's the second thing, gave himself for me. And that's it. That's what Paul has in mind. He loved me when he was hanging on the cross of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ was thinking of you when he was hanging there on the cross of Calvary. He was loving you right then. And that was the depth of his love for you, that he gave himself for you. He gave himself in your place to take your punishment for your sins, for all that selfish life that you'd live. Jesus took it all and the punishment for it all. And he says, I will bear that punishment. I will die for their sins because I love them. Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. The only proper response is faith in the Lord Jesus, to live by faith with Jesus in your heart. And then thirdly and finally, the Christian life is a life lived by grace. It's a life of grace. Paul finishes not there with those wonderful words that we know so well, but he finishes talking to Peter by saying this, verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Now, to me, if you imagine Peter and Paul having a boxing match. This is sort of what it is verbally here. This is the final punch. This is the one that's going to absolutely floor Peter. He's going to be there on the ground. There's nothing he can do after this argument because this is the great clinching argument between Paul and Peter. And we are certain, by the way, that Peter listened to Paul, and we are absolutely certain that he changed his ways. He never, ever made this mistake again. We know that. You can read Acts chapter 15, and you're absolutely certain that that is true. But this is the final punch. This is the one that knocks him out completely. What's Paul saying? Paul is saying, imagine him saying this, I, Paul, do not set aside the grace of God. In other words, Peter, you are setting aside the grace of God. And that's what you've got so wrong, Peter. You have set aside the most important thing that you and I have ever learnt from Jesus Christ. And that is that we are saved completely by grace. And not by works. Grace is the undeserved, unearned love of God. It is God giving us salvation. It is God declaring us to be just and righteous before him. And righteousness comes by grace, not by works. And so Paul is saying to Peter, I do not set aside the grace of God. You are, Peter, you're setting aside the grace of God. You're forgetting all about it. You're acting as though God's grace never happened. But it has. If justification, if it is possible, this is what Paul is saying, if it is possible for someone to get right with God by keeping the law, by observing all these Jewish rites and ceremonies, if that is possible, then why did Jesus die? What point would there have been in Jesus dying? He didn't need to die. If there was this way opened, if there was this route opened, and it said Jewish living, sacrificial system, circumcision, keeping the law, if that route was open, all we need to do, Peter, is to say to everybody, come along this way, come this way. This is the way to God. But Paul says that way has been closed. It never was open in the first place. There is this other way opened, and it is the only way. And it says grace, grace, the grace of God. Jesus Christ died for you. God has done it all for you. You must come by faith and faith alone. And Paul is saying, Peter, you've forgotten that. Don't open up a way that leads to a dead end. Certainly don't go that way yourself. Come to the way of grace, because if justification could be gained in any other way, then Christ died for nothing. The way of the law is shut up. It doesn't get to God. It doesn't get to heaven. So we need to show people the only way that is open, and that is the way of grace. Now, brothers and sisters, this morning, we are in danger of doing what Peter did. So we need to check ourselves. Never go down the way of works, traditions, law-keeping, because it will never get us anywhere. And it's giving the wrong message to people outside. The message, sadly, that many people outside have is, in order to be a Christian, you've got to be a good person. Many people outside of a church say, I wouldn't be good enough to go to that church. They would look down on me. They would think that I'm not really the right sort of person. Now, that is not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is that all of us come to God in the same way. None of us are good enough for God. We cannot possibly be. And so the invitation is come. Come. The way of grace is for all people. Come and have faith in Jesus. So you and I need to constantly say, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the body, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, may we be able to say that. And may God bless his word to our hearts.